All right, ready to dive into the story behind like this crazy famous painting, Napoleon crossing the Alps.
Oh, absolutely.
You sent us the Wikipedia article, and wow, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it's more than just Napoleon on a horse, that's for sure.
Way more. It's become this whole symbol, right? Like Napoleon, ambition, power.
It really has, yeah. It's become the image of Napoleon, but there's this whole story behind it, about like how it came to be and who made it and why.
Totally. And get this. The Wikipedia article mentions there isn't just one Napoleon crossing the Alps. There are five.
Five versions, yeah.
Five. Can you imagine, like, commissioning five nearly identical paintings?
Well, it speaks to, I think, how Napoleon wanted to be perceived.
Yeah.
Because these weren't just like copies. These were gifts, strategic gifts, tailored to the recipient.
All right.
So the one he gave to the King of Spain, who was, they just kind of made up after some disagreements,
Right.
shows like a younger, less intense Napoleon than the one Napoleon kept for himself.
Wow. It's like early political branding, but through art. Every
Absolutely.
little change, the horse, Napoleon's expression, all calculated.
Definitely.
But okay, get this. Napoleon refused to pose for the painting. He basically said to the artist, like, just capture my character, not the details.
Right.
Talk about confidence, right?
I mean, more than confidence, it's like he understood image, legacy. He's already thinking about how he's going to be remembered. He's
Yeah.
shaping that. This isn't just a portrait. It's like building a legend.
Totally. So how did the artist even like how did Jacques-Louis David pull this off without Napoleon ever sitting for him?
Resourcefully, I guess you could say.
Okay.
He used a bust of Napoleon to get the, likeness, the features.
Oh,
And he even like had his son pose. His son had to climb up on a ladder pretending to be on a horse.
that's amazing. That's dedication. Or
Yeah.
maybe a way to just embarrass his kid. But I mean, it speaks to what lengths they went to create this image.
Yeah, and it wasn't just creating an image, it was creating propaganda. I mean,
Yeah.
this was commissioned by the King of Spain to like smooth things over with France. So it had this very specific political purpose.
So not just about capturing Napoleon's good side, I guess.
Not at all. It's about conveying
Yeah.
determined leader, braving the elements, cloak blowing in the winds, leading his troops over the Alps. It's
Yeah.
heroic conqueror,
Yeah.
not ruthless dictator.
Right. Yeah. Okay, but here's where it gets good. So Napoleon's crossing the Alps, right? Big moment, victory in Italy.
Right.
He wasn't on a majestic war horse like in the painting. He was
Right.
on a mule.
Yeah. It's a detail that often gets lost, I think, in translation.
Right.
What we have is like the romanticized version.
Totally.
David chose, symbolism over historical accuracy to create this big, powerful story.
It makes you wonder what else did he kind of like embellish? I mean, if he's swapping a mule for a war horse,
Right.
what else is going on?
Well, I mean, accounts from the time suggest that the weather during the actual crossing was actually pretty mild.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dramatic storm clouds,
Yeah.
artistic license.
Yeah.
He knew how to make an image pop, and shape public perception a little bit.
It's incredible the power of art, right?
Yeah.
But it's not just like what he added, but also who he included. Like you've got Hannibal and Charlemagne literally etched in the rock right down there in the front.
Yeah.
Those are
Just
some
drawn.
heavy hitters.
They're like the legendary military leaders, right?
Yeah.
They both crossed the Alps with their armies, so
Right.
visually he's connecting Napoleon.
He's saying, Napoleon, part of the club, walking with the greats.
Yeah, exactly. Like the next in line
Yeah.
elevates him even.
Clever. So this painting was sending a message for sure, but what about the way it's actually painted, the style? It feels very deliberate, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the elements, the arrangement, the colors, the light, it's all working to create this sense of power and grandeur. David, he was really into classical art. And he's using that to like elevate Napoleon almost to like mythical status, like looking at Napoleon's pose, arm outstretched. It's just like those Roman emperors and those old sculptures.
Giving me major Caesar Augustus vibes.
Exactly, invoking that authority. That
Yes.
majesty. And then the horse, too.
Yeah.
Classic symbol of untamed power. But here, completely under control.
I was like, look at this guy. In control, strong, determined.
Yeah. And that lighting, dark clouds, they open up.
Right.
And there's this, like, ray of sunshine right on Napoleon.
Dramatic.
It's almost divine, what you say.
Oh, totally. It's like a movie poster or something. No wonder this painting is so famous.
Right. It's the Napoleon image.
Yeah.
You know? It's fascinating how one painting can, like, stick with us, you know, shape how we remember.
Totally. It makes you realize how much is below the surface, especially with art. And speaking of, the article mentions the first version of this painting. Napoleon was actually on a piebald horse.
That's right. Yeah. Black and white.
Yeah.
And a much more elaborate kind of get up, like, for the horse. You know? The tack was much more detailed.
Hmm. I wonder why those changes were made.
Yeah.
Maybe a solid color, just red is more, I don't know, heroic.
It's possible, right? I mean, Napoleon was very aware of his image.
Right.
So maybe he weighed in, even on something like that, horse's color.
It's like he's curating his brand, but like centuries before social media.
Yeah, in a way. And speaking of details, I mean, this painting's full of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like even how the wind catches the cloak or the soldiers in the background, their faces. There's a lot to see.
It's true. Every brushstroke tells a story. What are some of the details that, like, really get to you?
Well, in the version at Versailles, you can really see it in the soldiers' faces, you know, as they're going up this, like, treacherous path, you know?
Yeah.
It's subtle, but it contrasts with how heroic Napoleon looks.
Yeah, right.
And it reminds us, you know, this ambition. It had a cost, a human cost.
That is a good point. It's like this hidden message about the reality of war. You know, conquest. Oh,
exactly. Add some complexity, right?
Yeah.
That you might not see at first glance.
Totally. So we've got the symbolism, the historical, you know, inaccuracies, incredible details. But what about how it's painted? Like David's actual technique, what can you tell us about that?
Well, I mean, David was a master of neoclassicism. And that was all about order, clarity, precise technique.
Mm.
Like a response to the Baroque, you know, that came before, which was so much more about emotion.
Right.
And drama.
So clean lines, controlled brushstrokes, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Layers, you know, starting with a super detailed drawing underneath and then these thin layers of paint until you get this smooth, almost like glowing surface.
It's so meticulous. It's wild to think like the impressionists come later and it's all, you know, loose brushstrokes.
Right. Total opposite.
Almost unfinished looking. Total opposite.
But for David, it was about control, you know, precision, reflecting those Enlightenment ideals, you know. Reason, order, super important at the time.
And you can see that in every little bit of Napoleon crossing the Alps. No wonder he was such a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, his actual skill.
Yeah.
Amazing. But what I think makes this painting so interesting is how he does that realism, but also this idealism. It's like it's real, but also this larger than life myth.
He captured like what Napoleon looked like, but also what he represented.
Exactly. And that push and pull, that's Napoleon's whole story, isn't it?
It really makes you think, you know, all this work to create like the perfect image. It's making me think about like us today, you know, obsessed with image.
It's interesting parallel, right? Like we're surrounded by images now more than ever.
Right.
And we're always thinking about how we look online, how we're perceived. It's kind of like we're all like creating our own version of Napoleon crossing the Alps,
you know,
but on Instagram or whatever.
Whoa, that's a really good point. But instead of like an artist, it's filters and like carefully chosen selfies.
Exactly. We're in control of the image, just like Napoleon was.
And just like that painting, those little choices we make, they say a lot about us, don't they?
They do. How we see ourselves.
Yeah.
How we want to be seen.
It's amazing how a painting from like the 1800s, still relevant, you know. But okay, before we go too far, one last thing about the painting itself. A Wikipedia article mentions this. David's signature is in a weird spot. It's on the collar of one of the soldiers, right?
Yeah.
Like struggling up the mountain.
It's such a small detail, but it's like he's, I don't know, putting himself in the scene almost.
Right.
You know, acknowledging that, like, this grand story, this big moment, it came at a cost to real people.
Do you think maybe he had second thoughts about Napoleon, even while painting him as, you know, this legendary figure?
Maybe. Or maybe he just wanted people to remember that behind every hero, there are all these other stories.
Right, yeah.
People we don't hear about.
It's like he's giving them a voice.
Yeah.
Yes. Even in this painting that's all about, you know, one powerful guy.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's a good place to stop. This whole dive into Napoleon crossing the Alps, so interesting.
It really is. It's amazing, you know, how much there is to uncover, even with, like, the most famous art.
It really is. And it just shows you how powerful art can be, not just like reflecting history, but challenging us to think about it differently.
Absolutely.
So to everyone listening, next time I see a piece of art, take a second look. Ask some questions, you know? What's the context? What's the story behind the story? You never know what you might find.
Those hidden stories are often the best ones.
They really are.